You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, show number 138. And on today's show, I'm going to be giving you 10 tips, and I mean 10 intensive tips for success with networking events. I'm talking about networking events such as BNI, Business Network International, your Chamber of Commerce. There's referral network. There's contacts and coffee out where I live. There's a whole bunch of different networking events that go on. And this is a great way to really grow your warm market and expand your list and grow your business and your team. But there are right ways and wrong ways to do it. And as I've observed lately, since I've taken my business in a big way into networking events, there are a lot of network marketers and those in direct sales who are creating some real grief for themselves by not doing it the right way. So we're going to get into that on today's show. Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Ulmer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. Well, hello again. It is Jackie Ulmer, and welcome back to show number 138 in the Street Smart Wealth Podcast. I love spending this time with you. It truly is a highlight of my week, recording these episodes and sharing what I've learned, what I'm learning, how I'm stretching and growing, and just ideas that I can pass on to you as we're all together in this journey of building something entrepreneurial, building something else for ourselves, for our lives, for our families. And, you know, it's a learning, growing process. It really, truly is. And as I mentioned, today's episode, I'm going to get into some nuts and bolts on how to really be successful in networking events. Now, I've jumped in about, it's only been about 2.5 weeks that I've been back in the scene of working networking events, but I've already retailed product, have people looking at my business, and I'm creating some success with these groups. But it didn't happen just overnight. I mean, certainly it's been nearly 21 years that I've built on in terms of my confidence level. And more than anything, learning how to work a networking event effectively. The psychology behind people, what to say, what to do, you know, all those different type things. And so I'm going to get into that. But I just wanted to share some details before I do. First of all, you can reach me on Twitter at Jackie Ulmer. You can reach me on Facebook, facebook.com/StreetSmartWealth. And you know, I always love hearing where you are, what you're doing, and you know, where you're listening in from. And it's kind of funny. So I went into my stats today and was just cruising the top 20 countries. Now the podcast is in over 122 countries as it shows right now, looking at my stats, 122 countries are listed. That's kind of exciting. I will tell you, that's really exciting to know that in that many countries we're getting the reach. And certainly by far, 77.92% is coming from the United States and 13.87% is coming from Canada, which makes up the bulk of it. But it's kind of interesting when you still break it down and I see how many people are listening in from other regions. So we've got United States, Canada, Australia, United Kingdom, South Africa, other regions. I'm not really sure what that stands for. Puerto Rico. Now, I love this. Sudan and Nigeria make out, they're in the top 10. Then Norway, the Cayman Islands, the Philippines, Mexico, Singapore, Sweden, Spain, Italy, France, Germany, and New Zealand. Now, a shout out to my friends in Mexico and Germany. My company is launching into both Mexico and Germany this year. And I would love to brainstorm with you if you're in one of those countries. Even if you're not interested in the business, my goal is not to try to recruit you into my company. What I'd like to do is just brainstorm a little bit, get some ideas from you. I love rewarding referrals. You know, I know that my business isn't right for everyone and, you know, your business isn't right for everyone, whatever. But I would love to just chat with you about some ideas and some possibilities there. So if you're in Mexico or Germany, I'd love to hear from you. You can just go to jackieulmer.com/contact-me, contact-me, and fill out the form there or send me a tweet or whatever. Just get in touch with me. I would love to chat with you. So big shout out to all those countries. And again, thanks for, you know, thanks for taking the time and listen in. And as always, my Inner Circle coaching program is alive and well. The forum is heating up. Topics, conversations, ideas, brainstorming is going on over there. You can go to jackieomer.com/coach to learn more about it, to learn about the strategies that have allowed me to sponsor over 1,800 people personally into my business and expand my new company into 3 countries in just that first month. So definitely would love to chat with you about that and get you involved if it's something you find is a fit for you. All right, so with that, let's get into the 10 success secrets. Well, don't you love that? There are no secrets, but 10 success principles to really maximize networking events. Now, as I mentioned, I've been going to networking events for years, but I've really been back into it. I basically haven't full-time relocated, but essentially I'm full-time out in Ventura, California now, relocated from my small mountain community of Lake Arrowhead. Not totally done up there, still have both places, but for now, we're out here almost exclusively full-time. And being in that small mountain community, I didn't go to a lot of networking events. I lived up there for 12 and a half years, and I really didn't go to very many networking events just because there wasn't that much on the mountain locally. I would go to the Chamber of Commerce mixer occasionally, and there was a morning mixer for a while, and then it kind of disbanded. But really, for me to go, it required about a 35-mile drive one way down a mountain in fog and snow in the wintertime. And with small children and, children at home, I should say, and an airline pilot husband, it really didn't fit into my game plan at that time. It just was so time intensive. And, you know, there were so many times when I couldn't go because of weather or because of kid activities, getting them to and from school, just a lot of different logistics like that. But now with an empty nest and as many networking events as I can possibly squeeze in, literally right at my fingertips, some within walking distance, I am back in the circuit of doing networking events and absolutely having a great time. In fact, a couple weeks ago when I walked into my very first one, I had to laugh because I walked right in, was very confident, started meeting people, shaking hands, introducing myself, asking questions. I was very confident with my little blurb that I would say when people would ask me what I would do. And I had to laugh and think, oh my gosh, we've come a long way, baby. I mean, seriously, because I remember the days when I would pull up in front of a networking event and I would sit in my car and I would think, all I really want to do is put the car in reverse and go home, put my pajamas on or, you know, do whatever and do anything but have to walk around and meet a bunch of strangers and slap a happy face on and all that other stuff. And you may know exactly what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, if you can just learn to relax, have fun, and be prepared, that's the biggest part of it, you will absolutely rock out these networking events. So I'm going to go through the tips and I'm going to go through some in-depth stuff. And if you listen to the first couple of them and think, oh, this is stuff I've heard before, please don't skip this. Go ahead and listen all the way through to the end because I'm going to get to some good ones. But the first ones are just really, truly common sense. First and foremost, arrive early. I can't stress this enough because the early networking that goes on really will go a long way before everybody gets there and it gets busier and that type thing. So I always get there 10 to 15 minutes before the actual event starts. I can pitch in and help out with setting up. I can meet people. I can talk a little further. I can ask further questions. And it's usually quieter and there's just usually a handful of people and you can really make good connections that way. Another key piece, though, in arriving early is that you really set yourself apart as a professional, and people pay attention to that. Even if it's subconscious, they pay attention to people who show up on time, who network, who help, who do all those kind of things. It's just a little mindset that they have. So tip number one, arrive early. Number two, again, this is common sense, but seriously, dress for success. I really mean that. If you want to represent your network marketing and direct sales business as a profession and as something that people might want to aspire to, I'm not saying you have to put on a 3-piece suit, ladies. You don't have to wear nylons or anything like that, but dress for success. Don't wear your, you know, most ratty jeans and scuffed up cowboy boots and that type thing. Take a little bit of time and, you know, pretend like you're going to a job interview is really what I would say, because essentially you are. Now, with the particular product line that I'm marketing, I really like to put myself out there as a professional. I am dressing in full-out business attire, wearing a lot of dresses and skirts, just to kind of emphasize a point of what I'm trying to do to really work with women and that type thing with makeup and skincare and helping them look better, feel better, more confident. And so I'm really working to put myself out there in that way because I feel like it represents my brand a lot better too. So make sure that you're dressing not only to represent yourself as a professional, but represent your brand as best you can as well. I learned a long time ago that you'll never offend anybody by being slightly better dressed than they are, but you don't want to be way underdressed than what the rest of the crowd is or those professionals who you're trying to attract. And yes, I know we have the ability to offer people a change from the 8 to 5, the corporate grind and all that other stuff with our network marketing business. But in that beginning, you really want to make a first impression. And it's kind of funny because one of the ladies that's in a couple of my networking events is she's a fashion coordinator. She not only is a custom tailor, but she also will come into your closet and accessorize and go through it, figure out what's best for you, pull together some key outfits and ensembles for what you're doing and that type thing. And she always stresses that too. And she's always dressed to the T. She represents her brand very well, but she always makes me want to strive to dress just a little nicer, maybe to add a scarf or an extra piece of jewelry or something like that. And one key thing about that, when you do those things, you really do set yourself apart, and people take notice of that. You want to become unforgettable to people, or certainly memorable. There's a difference between being memorable and unforgettable, although they're very close. But anything that you can do to get people to remember who you are is a key, key piece of it. Which leads me right into number 3, again, a common sense thing, but have business cards. Make sure you have business cards that you can hand out when people ask you for them, that you can set out on the collateral table. Business cards are cheap. You can order them so inexpensively through Vistaprint. There's just so many places that you can get them. There's no excuse not to have business cards and not to be prepared to hand those out. Now, when I say be prepared to hand those out, don't force them on people. I never give someone a business card until they ask me for it. I make people ask for my business card. I want to treat it like it's gold, and I also want people to want my business card because I know what happens for most people with business cards that you force upon them that they didn't ask for. What happens? They get home with them and they get dumped in the trash, or they get put in a pile for months and months, and then they get thrown into a shoebox, and then several years later, they get dumped out. They don't necessarily ever even get looked at again. So along with dressing for success, let's talk about the impact of that business card. Have something on there that captures people's attention. Now, on mine, I have a set of eyes that represent my product line extremely well. And when I walk in, people go, oh, wait, let me see. No, I remember you. I remember you from your business card. You're the XYZ lady. And I love that because that's exactly what I want. It's like I said, I want to be memorable to people. I want them to remember who I am. It doesn't matter if they remember my name or anything like that, but if they remember my face, they remember my business, and they remember something about me, that means I've made an impact, and that's the most important thing that I can do. Okay, number 4, be prepared with what you're going to say in 2 areas. Be prepared with what you're going to say when you stand up and give your 30 second to 60 second elevator pitch, as we call it. But also be prepared what you're going to say when you arrive early and when you're spending that time networking with people. You don't want it to be your exact same commercial, but you want it to be something similar. Your name, maybe use your website address. I'm actually using my website address, which is a redirect that takes people to my actual company site. I'm using that kind of as my business name because it's catchy and it creates attention. So I say that instead of just my company name, because the company name doesn't mean anything to anybody, or maybe it does. Maybe they've heard of the company or something like that, but I want to create something memorable first. So be prepared with what you're going to say to people when you're in that networking phase before you actually sit down and do your actual elevator pitch. Be prepared with what you're going to say to people that's going to capture their interest and get them asking Oh, really? Well, tell me more about that. Well, how does that work? Or whatever it is. But don't fall into that role of being an advertiser. It's a fine line, and I cover this all the time, you know, in streetsmartscripts.com, in my success language and that type thing, you know, how to avoid being salesy, using good success language, asking questions, and knowing how to really work with people to find that hidden need, find that potential interest that they have. Then the second part of that is be prepared with your 30 to 60 second commercial. And I mean be prepared. Practice, drill, and rehearse this. There's nothing more appealing to me than going to these events and having somebody stand up, smile, look around at everybody, and know exactly what they're going to say. They're not stumbling over words. They're not trying to make it up as they go along. They're not rambling down some path about the patents that are pending or celebrity endorsements of their products or anything like that. They know exactly what they're going to say. You know, it's kind of funny. I was at a networking breakfast the other day, and there was one woman there who's with a popular juice company in direct sales. And this other woman who was there who was new for the first time, she said to the woman in this company, she said, well, what is XYZ? She said the name of the company because it's a one-word descriptive company. And I don't want to say it because I'm not trying to call out the company. They certainly haven't done anything wrong. But she said, well, what is XYZ? Oh, and five people sitting at the table all went, oh, and I saw a couple of them rolling their eyes and I thought, oh boy, here it comes. Well, anytime you've got five people who immediately give a response like that, that would have personally mortified me. Like I would have turned 50 shades of red as opposed to 50 shades of gray. I would have turned 50 shades of red and really reevaluated what I was going to say, because that means that what people were really saying is, oh boy, here it comes. Lady, you might be sorry that you asked that or whatever it is, because it, and really that's what happened. She went into a complete dissertation about the name of the fruit that it's derived from, how it sounds like this fruit, but it has nothing to do with that, where it comes from, how they harvest it, and then went on to talk about all the ailments within her that it had cured. And I kept thinking, oh my, we might be getting into really dangerous FDA type claims where she's claiming that a product cured her arthritis and other things. And believe me, I'm not saying that it didn't. I believe in health and nutritional products. I absolutely do. And I believe in the benefit of whole foods. I believe in all that type stuff. However, I know that it's a slippery slope where the FTC and the FDA and all the regulators are concerned about what we can and can't say. And so it really is a dangerous slippery slope for our entire profession when someone starts down that path. But I'm not kidding you. Like I glanced over at the woman who had asked the question because I was sitting right by both of them. I had the perfect bird's eye view to look at both of them and observe what was going on. And it was amazing to me that the woman with the direct sales company couldn't see that this woman's eyes were literally rolling back in her head. They were glazing over. And she was thinking to herself, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I asked that question. So that's just a note. And again, in my firm style of teaching, which you'll hear about here at the end of in my iTunes shout out, I am firm about certain things, but it's only a tough love kind of thing because I want to help you be better. Believe me, I made all these mistakes in the beginning too. With my very first direct sales company, I was with a telecommunications company. I probably stood up and told people how deep the cables were buried. No kidding. I mean, although we were fiber optic, but I think those were buried too. I don't even remember. But I made the most serious blunders in the world, and I know that I did. So believe me when I'm saying this stuff, I don't mean to be harsh. I don't mean to be opinionated about anyone. I just really want to help you get the most out of your networking event because they are powerful. The event that I attended today, 80% of the people at that event were in a direct sales company. Okay, so that shows that they work, that shows that they're well attended, and there's a couple of key points with that, but you want to be really careful that you're representing our profession very, very well. So be prepared with what you're going to say. A good part of your pitch, if you will, involves saying who you are, so always state your name and what it is that you do. So, hey, I'm Jackie Almer. You might want to say, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a whatever with whatever company. I help people. I work with people too. I blah, 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 blah. State what it is that you do with your product line. Don't talk a lot about the name of your company or the details of your product. Tell what the product actually can do for people without getting into that slippery slope of, you know, FTC violations or anything like that, or making claims that are inappropriate. But you can definitely state what it is that you do with your product line. And then always state what a good referral is. A good referral for me is someone who's looking for XYZ, relief from this or whatever. And be product focused. But I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. You don't want to be opportunity focused in these particular events. You really don't. It's a turnoff to people. There's a time and a place to bring up the opportunity. I'm all about that. But we'll get into where the time and the place is for that. Okay, so number five, be truly interested in others. When it's your networking time, try not to spend a whole lot of time talking about you. It's like anything. Ask as many questions about other people as you can, about their business, how long they've been doing it, do they love it, how did they get started with it, do they have a physical office, do they go to other networking events, what can they tell you, what can they share with you, different things like that. Because again, part of that goes to being memorable and unforgettable to people. You know, we've heard that story before about the two passengers on the plane where one person sat next to the other person. They did nothing but ask questions of the other person for the entire 5-hour flight. And at the end of it, the other person stood up and said, you know, you're the most interesting person I've ever talked to. And yet the one person never really said anything about themselves. They just asked questions of the other person. Everybody loves to talk about themselves and their business. Be the one to give people that space for that. And I promise you, with most people, not all, but when you do that with most people, they're going to also in turn ask you, well, what do you do? And that's when you want to be prepared. Okay, number six, be product focused. Okay, be product focused, but know how to ease into your opportunity. I'm going to give you an example of that. Today at my networking event, I stood up, I said my name, the name of my company, and I went into some details about the product and what I do with what that product does, and how I do whatever it is that it is. I don't want to get into the details of that. I want to keep this fairly generic, but how that product serves other people and how I use that to uplift, empower, make people look better, feel better, more confident, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to know what that is for your particular product, and you'll want to spend some time on that. But at the end, I said, a good referral for me is anyone looking for blah, 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 blah. And by the way, my company is launching in Mexico and Germany this year. So a great referral for me is anyone who has contacts in either of those countries where I could just sit down with you, have coffee, and pick your brain for a little bit and share what I'm doing and what I'm looking for in those countries. So that's a way to ease in the opportunity. Let me tell you how it is not a good idea to ease in the opportunity. A couple weeks ago, a lady from another well-known network marketing company stood up and she said, people, I'm not kidding you. You got to take a look at this company. They're throwing money at us. That's exactly what she said. People, I'm not kidding you. You got to take a look at this company. They're throwing money at us. And I looked up and I looked around and I thought, well, shoot, I don't see any money flying out of the sky. I mean, seriously, the insurance agent doesn't stand up and talk about them throwing money at him. The real estate agent doesn't stand up and say that. Please, please, network marketers, don't stand up and say things like that. Those are the type of statements that give network marketing a very bad name and a very bad reputation. There's not a company out there that's throwing money at anyone. There are companies out there with very lucrative pay plans. In fact, most of them do if you work it right. But that's the key thing. There's work that goes into it. No company takes a look at you and says, oh, wow, you're a distributor with us now? Here, boom, boom, boom. Let me just throw cash at you. That doesn't happen. So stop trying to make it sound like it does. I just wanted to crawl under the table for her when she stood up and said that. And again, I was looking around the room and, you know, nobody was like eagerly sitting at the edge of their chair thinking, oh my gosh, I can't wait to find out about this company. Well, she's been going to that networking event for quite a while. And, you know, so there wasn't anybody else in the room doing that. And if she's been saying that for a long time, those people are looking around thinking, oh my gosh, we hear this over and over and over again. You know, another thing is you don't want to add in, oh, and you know, I want to teach you how to be healthy and wealthy. That's what I'm here for, is to teach you to be healthy and wealthy. A lot of those are taglines that we hear among network marketers and among our company and that type thing. But again, those don't go over well in the outside world with the very people you're looking to recruit into your business. And the reason is you're modeling for them what they're going to need to be doing, saying, and the way they'll be presenting the company should they decide to get involved with you. So you want to be very careful with the language that you use and work to attract people, not repel people. Okay, number seven, stay late. Kind of like number one, arrive early. Number seven, stay late. Don't be so quick to run out the door. If the event ends at 9:30, unless you absolutely have somewhere you have to be, stick around after. Network with a few more people. Set a goal to connect with three additional people after the meeting ends. Go make sure that you pick up any business cards that were left. If there's a business card table or a Rolodex file or something where you can collect business cards of people, but stay later, help to clean up, put things away, because very often that goes on with certain networking events, and just network and chit chat and brainstorm with people. Again, that's part of what makes you memorable and part of what makes you stand out in the minds of others. So make sure that you stay late as much as possible. Then eight. The meeting after the meeting, make sure that you follow up. You've collected all those business cards. You've taken the time. You've invested some money. You've hopefully taken a shower and dressed up a little and, you know, put on your best look, and you've gone out to that event. Now make sure that you follow up. You can follow up a number of ways. The meeting after the meeting is important. Set a goal to have coffee twice a week with different people from the networking events. Call and say, hey, can you meet me for coffee? I'd love to get to know you a little better. I'd love to get to know your business a little better. And when you do that, you'll get the opportunity to showcase your products. And this is when you have the opportunity to also mention the opportunity. Not necessarily to them straight up, not necessarily saying, I'd like to show you my opportunity because you may be interested, but just showcasing that I'd like to show you all the different aspects of my business because you may know some people who it might be a fit for. So you can follow up in person. Follow up by Facebook. Facebook now is a great way to connect. I know with my networking here locally in Ventura, almost everyone is on Facebook. So once I meet them at the actual event, I'm quickly getting on Facebook. I'm going in, I'm finding them on Facebook through the few other people I'm connected with. I'm setting up a friend request, and then I'm sending them a personal message. Hey, it was great meeting you at Contacts and Coffee or the referral network or whatever it is that I've attended. I do it right away. I do it within the first couple of days. Now, you have to be careful because Facebook will put you in Facebook jail if you make too many friend requests, especially if they don't accept them. So pick out the handful that you actually networked with first, do those friend requests. Then the next day, once those have been accepted, do a few more and then a few more and that type thing. But begin to add those to your Facebook friends and make sure you're creating a list for those so that you know how you know them and you can sort them when you want to do specific updates and that type thing. So Facebook and social media, LinkedIn too. Don't forget LinkedIn. That can be very, very powerful. Send them a personal email. Nothing wrong with sending a personal email that says, hey, it was nice meeting you. Very few people do that. I think I've only received two from the first few networking events that I've gone to. And I've bonded to both of those people right away. And they've helped me find other networking events and that type thing. So they're good, solid networkers. They followed up. Send a card. Hey, it was nice to meet you. It was so nice to meet you at the event. That's a great way to make yourself memorable too. And nothing wrong with a phone call, especially if you've connected. Now, today, I mentioned being product focused, and I forgot to share this in this part of it, but today I actually retailed product at my event. This was my third contact with a woman. She had expressed an interest the first time I met her. The second time also, I followed up with her, and today she actually bought product from me on the spot, made a retail sale, and she's interested in doing some other things. Another gal expressed an interest and asked me if I would be interested in coming to her office, which is filled with women, to do, you know, kind of a show and tell kind of thing with them, like over a lunch hour or something like that. Are you kidding me? So I'm following up with a phone call with her. I'm not going to leave it to chance that she's going to call me, even though she said she would. I'll be calling her to set that up. So be prepared for any of those type opportunities. So follow up, follow up, follow up. Number nine, commit now to the process. If it's a weekly networking event, go every week. Set a goal for at least a year. Okay. Don't expect immediate things. It's like I mentioned, I retailed product today after my third contact with this woman. A lot of direct salespeople, unfortunately, have the reputation of blowing in and then blowing out. And if they don't make sales or sign people up right away, they're out the door. You don't want to do that. You've got to give people time to get to know you, to feel comfortable with you, to listen to your elevator pitch a few times. We talk about sales 101. It takes, 7 to 9 times. It's the same thing. You want to give people that opportunity to hear you, get to know you, and hear that message over and over again. So it's a long-term process, and you want to commit to being there on a consistent basis. Inconsistency is not going to create the interest, which leads right to number 10, and that is understand the long-term process that it takes with networking. Now, I have a goal personally from Camarillo to Santa Barbara in my area. If you aren't familiar with California, you can take a look at the beach. You can find Ventura. You can look up about 30 minutes north to Santa Barbara and probably about 10 to 20 miles south to Camarillo. There's not much going on in my particular company with that, and my plan is to really dominate those particular areas, to get out there and work those networking events, work as many of them as I can. I'm going to work super hard. I'm in a 90-day blitz right now with my team and with my own personal goals, so I am out there working those super hard, and my ultimate goal is to find and sponsor people here locally that ultimately I can turn some of that territory and some of those contacts and customers and leads over to them. I don't want to spend my time going to, tons and tons of networking events every week, but I know it's like anything. I have to lay that foundation first. And as I lay a strong foundation, and as I show up as a professional on a regular basis, I'm going to create some interest there. I'm going to sponsor some people onto the team, and some of those people will be interested in stepping into a ready-made networking group that's already educated about the product, many using the product and that type thing, and they can step right in and do that. And through those networking events, the long-term process, I have found many other networking events, small vendor events where I can go and set up a table and different things like that. My area is ripe for my opportunity, and I am going to get out there and work it. I've made a year commitment to doing a lot of offline activity, and certainly a big bulk of it in this 90-day blitz that I'm doing. So it's important that you understand the long-term process. So what are some action steps that you can take? Well, first of all, find some networking events in your area. Okay, start with your Chamber of Commerce. Start on Facebook. I found a lot of mine through a Facebook group that was devoted strictly to my city and networking. So play around in the search box and see what you can come up with. But your Chamber of Commerce is a great place to start, as is BNI, BNI.org, I believe it is, Business Network International. That's a great place to start too. Even if you don't join a BNI group, you can find people and they'll know other networking groups. Call your insurance agent, call a realtor, just shop around local newspapers, especially weekly newspapers and that type thing. There are still some out there, believe it or not. Those are a great resource too to find some. So that's step number one. Step number two, learn about the group. What do you need to know? How many people are there? Are they active? And then set a goal and start visiting some of these and go over and over again. You may find some that aren't a fit for you. You won't know until you attend a few times. I mean, I would say attend 2 to 3 times at least, as long as they'll let you, before they force you to join. But you want to spend some time exploring and make sure it's going to be a fit for you. And then number four is really develop what your process is going to be. Know what you're going to do. After I made this commitment, I sat down and developed about a 12-week strategy of how I intend to present a different product, showcase it each week, talking about it, so that my commercial is not the same old commercial every time, but gets people interested, first of all, in my flagship product, second of all, in the other products that accompany it, and being able to kind of show and tell those things and make additional sales, offer incentives and promotions, and all of that with the intent of leading up to that eventual 10 to 15 minute presentation that you usually get to do on a rotating basis when you've joined a group. So that's really my strategy with that. So plan a strategy of how you're going to do that. And then number five, commit and understand that it's a long-term process. So I teased you a little already talking about my firm style of teaching, and I wanted to give a shout out to Siobhan Adams, who shared a nice review over on iTunes. Siobhan says, I love Jackie's podcast. Listening to her is so motivating and reassuring when I doubt my abilities to succeed in MLM. Her content is great, and while her teaching style is firm, she is always encouraging. Thank you, Jackie. And thank you, Siobhan. I appreciate that. And like I said, you know, I certainly don't mean to be firm as a way of lecturing people or anything. I have made every mistake, blooper, and blunder that you can possibly make in direct sales and have overcome myself regardless. So I know you can do it too. And really, my goal is to help shortcut a lot of those blunders for you. So Siobhan, you've been entered into a drawing for a free month of my Inner Circle coaching. If you'd like a shout out and you'd like to be entered as well, go to jackieelmer.com/iTunes or jackieelmer.com/Stitcher. And please do leave your review. I definitely appreciate it. And if you've liked what you've heard, also give me a tweet at Jackie Elmer. Again, let me know where you're listening, what feedback you have, what show it is, and that type thing. Show notes are over at jackieelmer.com/138. And until next time, remember this: hesitation never cashed a check. Good luck to you and your business. If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. That's my nuts and bolts on how to be successful in your network marketing business. You can also get more at my blog, jackieelmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/streetsmartwealth, and on Twitter, at Jackie Elmer. See you on the next show and have a fun, profitable week.